hopefully it doesn't fall. And I'm shaking because I'm not a public speaker. So yeah. Okay, so there's my ring. It's a picture, right? A picture of love, a picture of promise, a picture of today, and a picture of tomorrow. There have been many times while wearing that ring, being unfaithful, full of different desires and different sins. But luckily for us and for me, there's the grace of God, and there's the reconciliation, right? We're all invited, each and every one of you. I don't know exactly how sermons are supposed to go or how sharing is supposed to go. I just kind of go with whatever God places in my head, I guess, just like everyone else. I was up last night until 3 trying to work something out, trying to get a writing down, a sermon, trying to get them all together. And I tried, right? And nothing was coming. Nothing was coming. One of our boys was upstairs. He has a cold, so he's coughing, he's sick, and then ran upstairs, went to check on him, and gave him some cough syrup. And then Zion was hanging out with me downstairs, and he started crying. Just like, oh, man, okay. So ran downstairs and just checked up on him. And it just kind of dawned on me, it's like, we all have different needs. We're all in a different place. We all have different issues. Some of us are younger, some of us are older. But that doesn't matter in the kingdom of God, because each and every one of you has a specific gifting, something that has been given to you, that's been placed there specifically. Each and every one of you. Now, whether you believe in Jesus or not, he made you. You can believe it or not, right? He made you. You're fearfully, wonderfully made, whether you believe it. There's nothing random about the Word of God. How's that work? On Friday, it was just me and my boss, and we were standing outside on a coffee break, and it was raining. And I was just watching the rain and talking with Darwin, my boss, and it just kind of, God kind of just showed a little picture of the rain. Now, when the rain falls, you kind of think it's random. The wind blows and it kind of drops in different random places. But I just felt God saying, it's not random. Each and every one of those drops, no matter how big or how small they are, they're going to drop specifically where I tell them to. So, with that said, I guess the main theme, I guess, I got out of Isaiah 55. I'm just going to read that. And we had, I think it was Shirley shared last Sunday about everyone by the river. Right? Was that last Sunday or a couple Sundays ago? 2 Sundays ago? We're all invited. It says, come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what it does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know, you will hasten. You do not know, you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Just with that invitation, and even just with the songs that were played today and the words that were spoken, this is all of promise. Now, where God says, come, all you who are thirsty, it's the gospel, right? Jesus is the bread of life. He says, come, all who are thirsty. It's not by works, Randy shared today. It's not by works. It's the gospel. It's by faith. And there's promise in that, in life. And with the covenant, the new covenant with Jesus, there's life. There's an invitation to take this covenant, and we heard with Russ Doty taking the cup, and it's the same idea. We can take this ring and we can wear it, because it's a promise not from man, but it's a promise from God, the maker of heaven and earth. There's a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all in a dance. He's invited us into that dance. Not because he wants something from us, because we can't give him anything, right? But it's because he wants to give something of himself. He wants to say, listen, I have this perfect relationship and this perfect community, and I want you in it. No matter how unfaithful you are, I'm faithful. No matter what you might be going through, I'm faithful. It doesn't matter about what you're going through, I love you. And I'm going to give you this ring, and I'm going to invite you into this dance, into this marriage, into this relationship, because I love you, and I want to give life to you. Now just with that, and just that invitation, there's only one way into that invitation, and that's through Jesus. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's John 14:6. And what a declaration of somebody. What man can say that? We live in a culture where there are so many different things, so many different advertisements of different companies, and we have the internet and the media, and every website that you go on has an advertisement. You go to the main site, and they have an advertisement for different sites that you can go to. Now, the kingdom of God doesn't work like that. The kingdom of God doesn't say, you know what, this religion over here, you can come to me through there. You can come to me through here. No. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me or comes to the Father except through me. Now, if that's a hard thing to take, it is. Even for Christians, right? It's not an easy thing to take, to say, you know what, there's only one way through that door. You know, take the handle and open it. And for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, what an invitation. There's nothing else like that. There's no relationship in your life, no relationship in my life, that can say you can have eternal life. There aren't very many people who would give good gifts. But God says to you, you believe on his Son and you will not perish. You can have eternal life through him. There's only one way to God, and that's not through works. A lot of the times, and even as a young man, trying to vie for position or whatever in different areas, whether in the church or at work, you can work so hard and attain to really nothing. You're just working for the wind. But God says, just what Mike said earlier on, is just that it's not the gifting inside of us, or how righteous we are in any respect, but it's because of what God has placed in you. He's placed his Son in you. And with that, he's placed the kingdom and all those giftings that he has for you. All those little raindrops that he has for you in the kingdom, where he wants to send you. He wants to use you. Now you can take it up, or you can't. Or you won't. You can say you can't. You're either willing or you're not willing. The biggest damage that's done in the kingdom of darkness in this world is the kingdom of light. And the only way that happens is a life that has been yielded to Jesus. And think about that scripture that says that the kingdom of God is suffering violence, and violent men take it. Now, by force. One thing that God kind of shared to me, I felt, is that the violent men, they're not violent because they're really strong men or because they're really good at their job. But they're violent men because they're obedient to the king. They've bowed down to the king and they said, I got nothing. I can't advance your kingdom. I'm just flesh. But it's because of you that I'm a violent man who's taking the kingdom by force. And the enemy hates that. If you're just looking into the church, there is a Satan out there. He roams around seeking those he wants to devour. Now, the thing about devouring something is you don't really care about what you're eating. Satan doesn't really care about you. I had a man tell me, he's one of the team guys, Steve Barr, when I first became a Christian at one of the GTTs. The very first time I met him, he didn't say hello. And I tell this often because at first I thought it was kind of funny, young man. But he just stared at me right in the eyes and said, the enemy hates you. He didn't say hello. He didn't introduce himself. He just stared at me and just said, the enemy hates you. And I kind of chuckled and laughed and was like, and he said, no, seriously, the enemy hates you. Now, being a younger man, just with different struggles, kind of forgot that and just kind of went on living in my own strength, my own understanding. The Word of God is an amazing tool. It's a sword, really, to fight off Satan and what he wants for his kingdom. Now, the truth of God, when it comes and dwells in you, it starts to change you. We can either accept it or not. The same with believing in Jesus. We can either accept Jesus or not. There's only one way through that door, and it's by hearing his promise and by seeing his light. With that song, with the lighthouse song, there's only one true lighthouse. There's only one true light in this world. Some people are blinded to it. Some people's hearts are hardened to it. But it's Jesus. Now, we can either proclaim it with the gospel, or we can proclaim it through some sort of self-righteousness and judgment onto people who don't know Jesus. But the gospel is a lot more broader than what we think. It's not about how good you are or if you're just coming into church. It's not about cleaning yourself up before you come into church. And church is just really a body of believers who are coming together. It's not about the denomination. It's not about the building. It's not really about where you're meeting or who you're meeting with. It's just about people who believe in Jesus and who are going through the same thing as you are. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you become perfect in any way. It's a long life of change. And it's a big commitment. It's a bigger commitment than marriage. It's a bigger commitment than any work that you might do or any sport, anything that you might want to put yourself out into. It's a bigger commitment than that. It's saying, you know what, Jesus, I believe you. You're the one that has been loving towards me, and I've been unfaithful towards you, whether we know it or not. And he says, come with me. And we say, okay, I believe you. You can take me wherever you want to go, without realizing that he has plans. We don't know those plans, but we can certainly direct our desires to Jesus, and he'll bring us there. Not because of any might that we have, but it's only because of Jesus. And there's such beauty in that, is that all we have to do is just yield ourselves, and he'll bring us there. There's a graffiti coming into town, into Terrace, going over the old bridge into Terrace, and it says, what is your desire? And I remember when I first seen that and struggling with sin and my flesh and what God was wanting to do in my life, and that just popped out in the midst of it. What is your desire? And it seems like there's an inner battle, right? The battle with your flesh, and also a battle with the man that's made righteous in you, it's Jesus. And you can either choose to follow the sin and follow your ways, follow your dreams, or you can put them aside and you can follow Jesus. One thing about Jesus is that he sets people free. The ruler of this world doesn't set people free. He wants to keep you exactly where you might be, whether it be in the church and coasting along. I'm sorry if this is strong. But He wants to keep you exactly where you are, and he's happy for it. He wants to say, you know what? You're exactly where you want to be. Or you're exactly where I want you to be. But God is calling you further and onto greater things than just going to church. Because church ultimately isn't the place to be. The place to be is in the presence of Jesus. And that's his kingdom. And so with that promise, we can come to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And we could say bye-bye to the kingdom of darkness and all of its chains and everything that is holding you to. You could be satisfied in the world, but ultimately it's not going to last. The Bible talks about the days of men being like grass of the field, withers and fades. I was thinking about that a few weeks ago, just with Zion being born and our boys, and I started thinking about death for some reason, just because of life was coming in. But just the thought of death. We all have our time. We don't know when it is. Hopefully my time's not right now. But we all have our time. Now, what is our desire? What are we giving ourselves to? And who are we believing? Are we believing the promises of our King, Jesus Christ? Or are we believing the promises of what Satan and his rulership can give you, which is going to be nothing? Now, the promises of God is not a light thing. In different relationships, I promised my wife that I would be faithful to her. And it fell flat. But the promises of God to man, that's eternal. My relationship with my wife, I'm not going to be married to her in heaven. I only have maybe a good 60 years with her. And then we go to see Jesus. Which relationship is eternal, never ending. Yeah, such a beautiful thing. You know, it's funny, I'm not that much of an emotional guy. And Christina can tell you, Mark. When it comes to Jesus and what he does, I become emotional. I don't even know why I took these notes. Now, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Now, I love that word, everyone. It's not the religious people or the people who look good or the rich people or the famous people. It's everyone. I find for myself, and I don't know if anyone of you kind of experience the same thing, but just kind of like this narrow-mindedness of, oh, maybe it's for that person. No. That's a trap. It's for everyone. Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Paul says that anyone who believes on my Son will have eternal life. And that's not a narrowness. That's saying he died for the whole world, so that whoever believes on him will have eternal life, have salvation, and have freedom. There's only one way you're going to get freedom, and that's through Jesus. When I first became a Christian, sharing the things of God or saying I'm a Christian to people was kind of like, should I tell you? Should I really tell you? There are a few experiences where there were good, and some where there were not good, and others I was just too afraid to tell. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And it's not by works, it's by faith. Different religions will tell you how to get to God, or how to gain your way to God, or achieve different things. With Jesus, they're already given to you. It's because of what Jesus has done. It's not because of what the church has done. Because those of you that are looking in, we're going to fail you in so many different ways. And there are going to be times where we're going to judge you. Sorry. And there are going to be times where maybe we won't even talk to you. But that's not with Jesus. He says, come all who are thirsty, and you're going to be saved. And it doesn't really matter what time you get saved. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. If you have an experience with God, doesn't matter about what age you are. One guy in the Bible, he was on the cross beside Jesus. And Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. In his last minutes, the guy looked to Jesus. And Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say anything else. Now, Jesus lived, and he died for you so that you can have a relationship with God, the Father, and to be a part of a perfect community. Now, in this world, it's not a perfect community. Just like I was saying before, we're going to fail you. But there is a God who is three persons in one. And that's the perfect community that we've been invited into through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is at hand. It says in Mark 1, 14, 15, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. He didn't say believe the religious leaders. He didn't say believe Pharaoh or Caesar or believe your employer. Or believe the achievements that you might have in sports or different things. Believe the gospel. And you'll have eternal life. There's salvation for you. There's a kingdom that's going to be deposited into your heart. Because the kingdom is within you. It's not anywhere else. It's inside of you. Now it's interesting that once that kingdom comes into your heart, there's a change. There are times where we fight it. There are times when we're afraid of it. But Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, the kingdom of God is always advancing. It doesn't stop. It's always growing. It's always bearing fruit throughout the world. It's not stopping. There's nothing really that Satan can do to stop Jesus. He might be able to stop you if you let him, but he's not going to stop Jesus from doing what he wants to do. Now, the kingdom of God is advanced by people who are humble. It's not by people who are amazing. So I would encourage you to step out in whatever way that God has placed inside of you. Now, there'll be inklings of that if you're just starting. praying is one of them. When you start to pray, things start to fall away. When you pray to Jesus, his peace comes into you. His words start to come into you. When you look into the Word of God, the Word starts to change you and wash you and make you into this new creature. It makes you new. It takes you from the kingdom of darkness and brings you into the kingdom of light. And it takes you from an unfaithful person to the faithful Jesus. And it takes you to that water, to that river, and it washes you clean. You become a new person. You walk through that door, you're going to be a new person. You're going to be changed. You're not going to be the same person that you were yesterday. You're not going to be the same person that you are right now. You're going to be different. Not because you're something special. You're special to Jesus. But it's not anything that we can do. It's just by saying, you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through you, Jesus. So I want to walk through that door, and I want to take up that ring. I want to take up that promise and that covenant and that change. We all have different desires. We all have different struggles. We're all in different situations. Some are a lot more comfortable than others. Some are not. Now, church can only change you so much. There's a quote by C.S. Lewis. I have it here somewhere. This is out of Mere Christianity. He says, "For mere improvement is not redemption. Though redemption always improves people, even here and now and will, in the end, improve them to a degree we cannot imagine. God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new man, a new kind of man." You're not going to be the same. If you look into Jesus, if you truly look at him, all of those other desires and all of those other fleshly natures and sins and struggles, they're going to fall away naturally. Because you're coming into the presence of a perfect being. You're coming into a fire. And you're going to be purified. Now, Christianity is not, there's a lot of joy because of the gift of God. But there's also a lot of change, which is a little more painful. So, anyone who might be looking in, you can come in comfortably, or you can come in looking at Jesus, and you're going to be different. Because there are a lot of times where we can sit there and not really do anything. We can coast along in Christianity or religion. But when you look at Jesus, you're going to be changed. And that only comes through humility and through obedience. Another hard thing to say is that God has a standard. That's just who God is. We say that God is not just, he is just. Things are happening in the world is because of us. It's not because of God. God has certain responses inside of himself that are righteous and perfect and just. And that's just how he responds to different things. When the fall of man happened, there are certain things that happened to Adam and Eve that God had to do. Because that's just a response of who he is. And the same with Jesus. When God sent his son, that's just a response of who he is. That's his love for you. God loved the world that he gave his only son. That's just a response of who he is, of what we had done to him. Jesus makes all things new. All the time. His kingdom is advancing. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's making all things new. He's taking this old man and bringing on a new man. And he's using each of us. He's using his word, and he's using prayer, and he's using worship music, and he's using different things to bring about his kingdom. Now, we can think that it's random in different ways, but it's not random. It's very specific to what God desires. There's only one way into that kingdom. Instead of the thorn bush, we'll grow the pine tree. There's only one thing that we can produce as humans, and that's everything opposite to life. And there's one thing that God can produce, and that's eternal life. Instead of the thorn bush, we'll grow the pine tree. So instead of you, it's going to be Jesus. We've all been invited. We've all been invited. There's going to be a banquet, and something cute in the spirit of God when Matt and Daniel and Sean kind of dressed up in their suits. Quite a couple months back now, I guess. But they're wearing their suits, and I just got the sense that God is inviting you to that banquet. You're going to be dressed up not in these kind of raggy clothes. You're going to be dressed in his son. And he's inviting you to sit at the table. Not under the table. He's inviting you to sit at the table with him. And he's done that because he loves you. It's not going to be you, it's going to be Jesus. But you're invited. Jesus is in you. And I believe that Jesus is calling some of you to him. So I would encourage you to really, really listen. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And there's no better place to be. No matter how much change that there is, there's no better place to be. One thing I believe to say is that it doesn't matter where you come from. It's where God is taking you. It doesn't matter, not to make light of anyone's situation, but it doesn't matter about your situation. It matters about where God is taking you. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now our future is with Jesus. Our future is with God and the Holy Spirit. And we can take up that ring and take up that covenant because of who he is and because of what he has to offer and because of the promises that he made. And you could be sitting up on that cross just like that thief beside Jesus, and Jesus could be looking at you and saying, "You'll be with me in paradise." And there's no better life than eternal life. So I don't know how you're feeling. I'm 28 years old, and I have three boys, and I already feel as though I'm not 28 years old. I'm not as flexible or as fast as I used to be. I play lots of sports. This body is not doing the same thing that I want it to do. And wrestling with my boys is a lot of work. But there's going to be a new body. There's a new man that's coming in that's a lot better than some physically strong man. Someone who's able to play soccer or hockey or whatever you want, whatever you do. But there's a new man, something in your spirit that's being built up each and every day, and we can give our lives to him each and every day or not. It doesn't mean you're condemned, but it just means that the next day, are you going to give your life to Jesus? Now this goes for Christians too. Each and every day, we've got to take up our cross and give our lives to Jesus. There's something of importance where we can't miss that. Because there's also a kingdom of darkness that's going on. And if we're not being fed by Jesus, what are we being fed by? What is our desire? Where do we want to go? Now I can tell you where Jesus wants you to go, and that's to be brought into his kingdom. And there's that invitation there. Now, can we take it up? Yes. Not because we worked for it, not because we somehow talked God into it, but just because of him. It's God's response to us. And God speaks to me in pictures. And there's that flower vase thing. It's almost as though there's a certain bouquet that God is preparing. And it's beautiful. He's taking individual leaves and individual flowers and he's putting them into one vase. And he's saying, you're going to be beautiful. Because you're my bride. You're going to be beautiful because I'm making you that way.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this message with others, but do not sell or alter the content in any way without the permission of the Rock Christian Community.